Sermon title today is Hold the Line, Part 1. And if you've ever watched any Civil War movies, it's one of the last things that they did, last kind of wars that they ever fought that way, that one side would line up in a line and the other side would line up in a line, and with their muskets they would start to march towards each other until they shot, until they also met on the battlefield. But you'd always see the people, either the officers or the sergeants, and you would be standing and you would hear them behind them, and they'd say, hold the line, because they knew if anybody broke ranks, that would cause other people around them to start running as well, and then you'd have a mass group of people running away from the battlefield. So it was always hold the line and hold the line. You know, in the Christian community today, that where we are living in this world, and we're living in a time where we're getting closer and closer to the coming of Jesus, it could happen at any moment. We know that we as Christians, that line is getting sharper and sharper and darker of they and us. We as Christians today, when everything that we hear that's going on in the media, we need to make sure in the last days that we are holding the line. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin there today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, and they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We see today and from the scripture that salt is a preservative, and that the Christian community is a preservative to our nation today. You are the ones that are right. You are the ones that are doing the right thing. And when we listen to the media, we find out that they're saying almost the opposite thing. When you look at verse 11, it says, "Blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Never be astonished, never be surprised that we as a church, we will face persecution. Even when you share with other people and you witness to them, sometimes you get negative reactions back. But that's all right, because we're doing what God would have us do. We need to let our light shine. Do you remember when in society that we were called prudes? And the Webster meaning of prude means to be modest, to be proper in behavior and speech. And I remember my daughter telling her mother once, "Oh, you're just a prude. You're just behind the times." We were called old-fashioned, out of step with modern times, behind the times, people who were stuck in the mud. But no longer does the world say that about us. I guess we have come a long way, baby, when we listen to what the community or what the media has to say about us. Now our culture labels us as radicals, fanatics, extremists, a threat to society because of our Christian belief. You are a radical today and an extremist today when you believe in life at conception, that God created us male and female. You're a radical when you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. You're a radical when you believe that sex outside of marriage is a sin, which includes homosexuality, fornication, and adultery. When you stand up for the principles of God's word, you are an extremist. You are a radical. Truly, we have seen Isaiah 5, verse 20, reappear before our very eyes. And I'd like for you to look at that scripture in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. And listen to what it says. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter to sweet and sweet to bitter. Woe to those who call evil good. And today we live in a world that calls evil good, and they call good evil. And that's why we today are radical. That's why we today are an extremist. If we look at verse 18 of that same chapter and read it, it says, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope. The rulers of the nation of Israel loved sin so much they drug it with them wherever they went. And that's what the scripture is saying. This nation has loaded sin in a wagon and said, this is good. This is how you should live. And let me ask you, are we not living in the last days today? And the answer is, yes, we are living in the last days. When we take good and say that that is evil, and when we take evil and say that that is good, that is most certainly a sign to the Christian community that we are living in the last days. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. You've heard me refer to this scripture time and time again. It says in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. You are living in perilous times when you call evil good and you call good evil. Verse 2, it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, and parents, unthankful and unholy. People are lovers of self. Mankind has put man's desires on the throne of their lives. Mankind has put their desires on the throne of their lives. God is no longer on the throne of people's lives in America. And because they are on the throne of their own lives, they are accountable to no one or anybody. And least of all, they are not accountable to God for anything. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from these people turn away. Verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Go back just a little ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we look at verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know that is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So who are we talking about? We're talking about the Antichrist is who we're talking about. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Many of these things that we're talking about in this portion of Scripture will take place after the rapture of the church. But we seek the working of them in our world and in society today. When you look at verse 3, let no one deceive you that by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, talking about the Antichrist. But already we see the falling away. It's already taking place in the Christian community. We're not talking about the falling away of the unbeliever. We're talking about the falling away of the believer. And we have seen church after church after church after church fall away from the truth. There are so many churches out there that don't believe that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. There's people going to church every Sunday, and no one has ever given an altar call. No one has shared the gospel message that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. We have churches out there today that do not believe in the rapture of the church. They do not believe in the tribulation. And if they believe it somewhere in the background, they're not preaching it today. They're not preparing their people. They're not preparing their people for what they're going to be prepared for. 90% do not preach salvation or that you must be born again. They do not believe in the truth of the Scriptures and that we are held accountable to these truths. Many do not preach Christ's coming, the rapture, or the tribulation. This falling away from the Scripture is happening before our very eyes. In verse 7 it says, "For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work, only he who is now restrained will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." The lawless one is the Antichrist, but we already see the evidence of the work that he will do in the lawlessness of our society today. And lawlessness in the United States is running rampant. In verse 9 through 12, look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, "And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, they might be saved." They did not receive who? They did not receive Jesus. And because of this, verse 11 and 12, they have called evil good, and they have called good evil. America today is believing a lie. Think about this. Carol and I may be the last pastors that you ever have. Carol and I may be the last pastors that you ever have in this world that we live in today. And there's young people, or maybe a few years younger than us, that could say, "Well, how in the world can you say that? Because I'm young and you're old." I may be old and you may be young, but I believe that the coming of the Lord is so close it could happen at any moment. And that's how the Christian community should be living its life. We should live our life in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am concerned about seeking forgiveness. I'm concerned about my relationship with the Lord, that I believe that His coming is so close, I can taste it. I can taste His coming. And it's that close that I need to be prepared. I need to have my family prepared. I need to tell my neighbors about Jesus. This church needs to be about the Father's business, bringing as many as we can get in the church and outside of the church until the Lord Jesus calls us home. That's the work that we are supposed to do. The Scripture says, "Occupy until I come." We need to occupy. We need to take the talents that God has given us and share them with as many as we can for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, "Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." How long do you think that God is going to allow this world to mock Him? As a church, as a believer, we must keep the faith. We must stay the course. Now go with me back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want to go back there. We will pick it back up at verse 13. Verse 13 says this, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our God and Father who loved us, give us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Saints, the word encourages all to stand fast, to keep the faith, to hold the line. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Do not be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. These things will surround us, but Christ has not come yet. We just need to be ready for when he does. And the question is, are you ready for the Lord Jesus to come? This church needs to be about the Father's business. Everyone in this church needs to be led by the Spirit and obeying the principles of God's Word. Let us grow this church right into eternity. In Daniel chapter 3, it tells us a story about three Jewish men that were taken into captivity. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And these three young men, they were told that when they heard the certain music that was going to be played in chapter 3, that they, when that music started, they were supposed to fall down and they were supposed to worship King Nebuchadnezzar, but they refused to do so. And what did they do to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? They were going to put them in the fiery furnace. And they threw them in the fiery furnace. And before that, the king said, heat it up 7 times hotter than it always is. And they heated it up 7 times higher than it was. And what was the report that came back? There was not even the smell of smoke on Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And when they looked in there, they said, there's a fourth person in there. They said, there's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but there's a fourth person in there, and he looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's what I want them to find out when they do a live autopsy on Pastor Leo. I want them to do a live autopsy on Pastor Leo, and when they look inside, there's not only Leo in there, there seems to be the Son of God in there. There needs to be the Son of God ruling in your life. Hallelujah. He needs to be sitting on the throne of your life, preparing you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And is Jesus Christ on the throne of your life today? You know, we say we love him with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul. What is our heart? It's the most inner being of our life, where Jesus is on that throne. I have taken myself off the throne of my life. I'm not doing my wishes, my wants, my desires. I'm doing what Jesus wants to do. Mold me and shape me. Turn me into the image of Jesus. And that should be all of our desire. The world has done the opposite. They've taken God, threw him out of the school system, threw him out of the government. We don't even want to recognize him anymore in Congress or in the Senate or the halls of administration. And we want to recognize ourselves as being gods. God is not going to be mocked. The Lord Jesus is who we need to turn our hearts and lives to. Saints, before Christ returns, we may even see even more vilifying things to the Christian. We must stay the course. We've got to hold the line. And you're making a difference. You're making a difference because you saw and you wanted God's will in your life and you built this church. And there's not a person in this church that has not prayed, when people drive by, may the Holy Spirit draw them in. And may the Holy Spirit keep drawing them in, keep drawing them in, and keep drawing them in. And you say, well, you know, a whole so many people, let God worry about that. Let's just tell as many people as we can about the Lord Jesus, for them to know Jesus and to be saved. I believe that we're only getting started, and I believe that you believe the same thing. There are so many people out there. Would the Lord Jesus tell his disciples, the fields are white for harvest. We need the laborers to go into the field.
and call men from the highways and the byways into the house of the Lord so they can come and find Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know and you feel that I'm the last pastor that you will ever have? Now think about that just for a moment. I am the last pastor. Think of it this way. I'm the last pastor you will ever have if the Lord comes next Sunday. I'm the last pastor that you will ever have if the Lord comes in a month from now. When you show up on Sunday morning and you find an empty building and you don't see Pastor Leo there and you don't see Pastor Carol there, is it going to be too late for you? Because the rapture has already taken place. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. You do not want to be left behind. Isn't it sad that our churches today are not preaching this? They're not teaching this in the houses of the Lord because they're not preparing their people. There's a lot of people out there today that are going to churches and they're going to have another pastor and they're going to have maybe another pastor after that because they are going to be left here. I don't want you to be. If the Lord would come on a Saturday night, I want this church to be an empty building on Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just ask you that, Father, you would sweep over this place in only a way that you can. And that, Father, you would speak to every heart and every life. And if there's somebody in here that does not know, if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you would speak to their heart. The Scripture tells us that we can know that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. And do you have the witness of that Spirit in your life that you have made that decision, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know that heaven is your home? This place is not your home if you know Jesus. Heaven is your home. I pray that, Father, you would speak to every heart and every life, and while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one in this place today that would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I am not sure if I know Jesus or not. I am not sure. Would there be one today? So we're good. We're good. All of us are good. Lord comes next Saturday night, this place is going to be empty. They can turn it into whatever they want. We don't care. We're going to be gone. We're going to be forever with our Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.